The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you feel like you're stuck in a rut, you can't be happy. It's time to take back the American dream. Welcome to No Plan B, creating multiple streams of residual income. Your host and guide on this journey is William Speak. Today, William and his guests will show you how to make residual income really work. It doesn't always have to be about working a 60-plus hour work week. Now, here is your host, William Speak.
Hello, I'm William Speak, and welcome to No Plan B, creating multiple streams of income. It's the first day of the week and the first Monday of the month, and I have an exciting show planned for you for today with an amazing guest. So let's just launch right into it. What if you were able to listen to a radio show over 13 weeks and you could create real wealth and real freedom for you and your family? Would it be worth tuning in every Monday morning? You might not find out 10 things, but you might find out just the thing that'll make the difference. I want to share a story with you about my guest. I've seen David Wood many times on stage in the past, and one day I was traveling. I was at the Kelowna Airport, which is in the sunny Okanagan Valley in BC, and in he walks to the restaurant that I'm having a quiet little drink with a friend. Well, instantly the room lights up. I couldn't resist. I walk over, and he jumps to his feet, introduced myself, let him know who I was, and got the big David Wood style hug. My friend was a little, you know, appalled, but anyways, that's David's style. And then he laid on something even more fascinating to me. He said to me, "Well, we're just heading to Mount Kilimanjaro. We're going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro." And that's been one of my dreams for a long time, to do something like that. So the next words of his mouth were, "Why don't you come with us?" And I knew he was sincere, and I knew I couldn't, but my brain said yes. And at that moment in time, I did make a decision. I did make a decision that if any other time in the future that something like this would come up, an opportunity like this would come up, not only would I take advantage of it, but I wanted to could take advantage of it. So, David Wood joining us on the line today from his home in Kelowna, BC. Hello, David.
Hey, William. Congratulations on your new show, by the way. I'm really honored to be a guest on it.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. You're the very first guest.
I probably need to meet your friend a few more times so he gets over being appalled about being hugged by a man.
That's the way to... So tell me, how was Mount Kilimanjaro? I saw the pictures, but tell me in your words.
You know, it was amazing. I led a team of 11 people up there. We had a small group of them were in their 20s, and the oldest person was actually in their 60s. And it's very rare for a group of 11. You know, you're expecting maybe 50 to 60% success rate, but we had all of us summited. It was an amazing, amazing, amazing experience, and really a great leadership experience because, you know, with so many young pups in the group, it took me a day or so to whisper in their ears. Everyone has a different style of leadership, but to whisper in their ears about the joys of leading from behind. And by the end of the 7 days, you know, this team was so tight. And even the guide said, and they lead a lot of people up this mountain. The group is called Team Kilimanjaro, the guiding group, and they're phenomenal. But they just said they'd never seen anything like it. You know, people having so much fun, even on a challenging climb, 19,370 feet.
Wow.
And so it was amazing.
What do you mean by leading from behind?
Well, you know, what I realized right away is I kind of got the group together and you know, it was interesting leading a group of 11. There was another team of 11 climbing with us. So there was 22 of us all together, but they kept us pretty separate, or they tried to. And there were two very different styles of leadership. And one style on the other group was a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more forceful, a little bit like, you know, I've done this and this is what we should do. And the style that I prefer to adopt is much more of let people sort of discover for themselves the answers, and also how do we gel a group together without somebody trying to usurp control, right? So I just, you know, to become a leader of a group, especially on something like that, which is, I mean, somebody died in the group ahead of us. I mean, it's a challenging situation to be in. So, I mean, it's a life and death type of situation. But, you know, what I found with a lot of young people as well is I just sort of would whisper things to them. I wouldn't ever make a public statement. I'd say, hey, listen, why don't you try this? Why don't you try being at the back tomorrow? And what my idea was if we all hiked behind the slowest person, then we would be a great motivation for them, and B, we would be able to witness so many wonderful things happening. And so the first day, you know, all the testosterone was there, and people were trying to hike up with the other group, and they were sort of trying to, you know, be ahead of the guides. And it was really, really hard to get them this philosophy inside their head. So that night in the tent, again, I talked a little bit about this, the joy of what I'd seen and the idea that, you know, maybe we could arrive as a group. And the guide's job was really trying to separate us. They wanted to see who the strongest hikers were for the last summit night. And for the whole time, they kept trying to create that kind of thing where there would be a distance between people. And after the second day, everyone was leading from the back. And, you know, we were able to make sure that everyone was safe. We had a blast. We sang. Again, it was one of the most joyous experiences, but when the whole team came together and they all understood the principle of leading from the back, right, and allowing that slowest person to really be our pace setter and allowing them and everything that happened, there was so much connection because we were hiking together and the testosterone was gone. Now it was about accomplishing something as a group as opposed to an individual, right?
Well, that's extraordinary. Now, the show is, this particular segment is about extraordinary lives. You didn't start life in an extraordinary way, did you, David?
Well, no. I mean, I grew up in England, and we, by Western standards, we were very, very poor. And I always say, if you had a fridge, you probably weren't poor. But you know, we lived in a condemned building, and there was a classic, you know, rags to riches kind of journey. But I when I left England, I was fortunate. What happened for me, you know, I was a window cleaner and a chimney sweep, and I drove a little three wheeled car made out of fiberglass, you know, and I used to go to the pub all the time, and my friends were getting high, I was getting high. So I led a very, very normal, typical, very, you know, I didn't know that wealth was something that anyone could create. No one had ever sat me down and said, hey, David, you know, you could be whatever you want to be. That conversation never happened. My teacher sat me down at 15 and told me I'd end up in jail or on the streets. And he was right to some degree. And then what really happened for me that changed the course and direction of my life is I left England on a six-day trip that ended up lasting 10 and a half years. And I backpacked around the world for 10 and a half years. And getting away from the environment was such a critical piece of my success puzzle, because environment is stronger than willpower. And, you know, and we become the sum of the five people we spend the most time with. And a lot of my friends I spent time with were either getting drunk or high and or doing bad things. And, you know, and so I was caught up in that kind of energy. And when I left that and I was able to step into a whole new world and my environment shifted, and then I was able to be influenced by a whole new set of experiences, a whole new set of people, a whole new set of energy. And it really changed the course of my life.
Wow, that's extraordinary. And the five people, I've heard you mention that before. How important are those five people around you?
Well, they're critical. I mean, the science will show that your income is going to be within 10 or 15% of the people that you hang out with. So if you hang out with a bunch of broke people, there's a very, very good chance you're going to stay broke. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with broke people, but somebody has to break the mold. I mean, everyone I knew was broke. And now a lot of my friends are very, very wealthy, you know, and I have broke friends still, you know, but they're influenced by success and they're influenced by our shared friendship. And they at least now my friends who struggle financially really know that they have a choice and that they can choose to create a better life if they want. And they want that because there's that influence. So the five friends is amazing. And it's not just friends. I mean, there's a lot of people who are married to someone who, when they're around them, they feel less than, you know, and they're in a relationship where they can never be their full self. They can't ever step into their full greatness. So and family can be like that. You know, a lot of people have negative family members. And it's not that you end up having to get rid of all these people. Sometimes sometimes you have to clean house. You have to say, look, you know, I'm just not going to spend time with those people. But when you evolve, as you start doing more work on yourself, and I love this saying, you know, my wealth can only grow to the extent I grow myself. And when we grow ourselves, you know, when we start to expand ourselves, what ends up happening is we can go into negative situations and we can be around negative people, but we don't get influenced anymore. We don't get sucked into their pile. What ends up happening is they get lifted up by our presence, as opposed to being sucked back into that negative pool of gossip, you know, and small-minded thinking, right? And it's typically just experience. You know, if I hadn't left England when I did, I mean, I was 20, if I hadn't have met the type of people I did, if I hadn't have been in the environments I'd been in, there is not a chance I would have ever created the wealth I have today.
On that, tell me a little bit about your life today. What's it look like?
Well, again, I was going to sound very conceited, but I don't mean it to. But I understand that the need for this show is to sort of allow people to step into and start to see the possibility. I live an extraordinary life. You know, I have amazing friends. I have a great family. And, you know, I mean, I have the same sort of nonsense that goes on in every family. And I have two teenage boys, and we bat heads sometimes. Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to try and make it sound like this perfect, you know, Norman Rockwell painting. It's not like that. But we do live in a painting. We live in the most gorgeous part of the world. We've designed a life where our home is reflective of who we are as people. And, you know, the door's always open. We have a constant stream of guests who are always welcome. The fridge is always full. There's always beer and wine laying around. So, you know, our home is always open, and people are always in it. We have a lot of people who share our life with us. Obviously, we have free time as well. The view out of our windows is one of, again, friends who come here say it's like living in a painting. But, you know, a life by design means we choose. You know, we spend a lot of time traveling. We just got back from Australia and Thailand, and we're off to Belize in 2 weeks. So we travel around the world. We feel like global citizens. Our children are multicultural in the sense they speak three languages. And, you know, they look at the world as their playground, not as a town or a city. And I do what I love. Every day when I wake up, I do the things I love. I run a show like this. And so I'm great. I'm very grateful that I get to speak to 179 countries every week. And I, you know, I'm able to do the work. There's a great saying Les Brown used. He said the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you discover why. And I was fortunate about 10 years ago to discover why I was born. And once I started to sort of live into my purpose, then every day became just a joy. So financially we do great, but it's really more of the design of our life and the fact that we have so much freedom and choice.
Yeah, extraordinary. Big question that a lot of people ask is, success means you're very busy, you're on the road, you're constantly doing things. Is there enough time for you? Is life just too hectic, or is there plenty of time to enjoy what you've got?
There's always plenty of time, you know, because, I mean, the thing is, if you're going to have to do something that's hectic, if you are in a situation where, you know, you have to, let's say you're a truck driver, you know, I mean, if you're in a truck right now listening to this and you hate your job, then you've got two choices. One is to stop hating your job and start loving it and find the joy in it. Or the second is to find something else to do. But you can't be stuck in something. If you're in a factory right now, I always say that I've done every kind of job. I've worked in factories. Again, I told you I was a window cleaner. I was a chimney sweep. You know, I landscape gardens. You know, I worked with my hands for the first, you know, decade of my life. And, you know, now I work with my voice. But the truth is that we have a choice. And I'd say that, you know, if we're in a situation that we're, you know, we hate, and I don't even like using that word, but we dislike greatly, and every day we get up, it's a drudgery. That's when time, that we become a prisoner of time. That's when time becomes hectic. But if you're doing things you love, you move from one thing to the next project. Like when I leave here, I'm picking up a guy from the airport, and we're designing a new tool for the network marketing industry. And so he's going to be here for 2 days. And is it hectic? No. I know that after the show, I got to jump in the car, drive to the airport, and I am going to spend 2 days creating, which is what I love to do. But getting back to the truck driver, imagine you start to become, you know, you use your truck as a university. And so you, instead of just, you know, feeling grumpy, you start putting great things in. You start listening to podcasts, or you start listening to, you know, CDs. ease, and you start to cultivate your mind. You start to use that space and time to grow something bigger inside of you. And then you're going to start having different kind of conversations. You're going to be attracted to a different set of people, and those people will bring with them different types of opportunities. So I always say it's about becoming the best at what you're doing right now and not hating anything. So people say, well, you know, you're just away for a month and you miss your home bed. I say, of course not. I love being away. So when I get back, I feel appreciative of my bed. But why would I go away for a month and then feel like, oh, God, I'm always away? I want to squeeze the juice out of what I'm away. And then when I come home, squeeze the juice out of being at home, but not regret being away because I want to be at home. Just appreciate when I'm home and appreciate when I'm away. And that way, time never is a prisoner, right?
That's awesome. We have to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back. But you're listening to No Plan B, creating multiple streams of income. Coming up after the break, David was going to talk to us a little bit more about developing a millionaire mindset. But before you go, if you have any questions or comments for David or myself, please email me at noplanb@williamspeak.com. That's speak with an E. Or on Twitter at WSpeak. Don't forget the E. We'll be right back. See you soon.
Do you dream about owning your own business? Do you feel you have more to offer but just don't know how to get started? Are you passionate about life, helping others, and committed to taking your health to the next level? Come join our team. We offer solutions to transform lives in weight loss, energy, and performance. Discover how thousands of people have already transformed their lives. We will teach you everything you need to be successful in your own business. For more information, please visit stepintoliving.com or call 416-578-4485.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
What does conscious leadership mean to you? It unites organizations instead of dividing them. By exploring commonly based business challenges, it guarantees an increase in your bottom line. Tune in to Minding Our Business, Creating a Spiritual Economy with your host, Nadine Rogers. Each week, we'll hear from business leaders and learn from their strategies. We'll talk about personal and organizational best practices that you can learn from, and we'll hear from you. Minding Our Business airs live Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business.
You are listening to No Plan B with William Speak. To reach the program today, please call us at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to noplanb@williamspeak.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to No Plan B. My guest on today's show is David Wood, author, business leader, trainer, millionaire entrepreneur, and all-around great guy and humanitarian. David, I want to talk a little bit about mindset when it comes to developing an extraordinary life and a business. Is it as simple as just making a decision to live an extraordinary life and stepping into it? Is there more than that?
Well, you know, you can't decide. It's part of it, right? I mean, if we look at the process of manifestation, we go from environment, which we talked about in your first segment. You know, environment is stronger than willpower. So we have to manage our environment. And if we're around a lot of negativity, you know, we can't grow in that. It's like, you know, putting a plant in a dark room. You know, in the end, it's just going to die, right? So environment leads to how we think. How we think leads to how we feel. How we feel leads to the actions we're willing to take. And the actions we're willing to take will give us the results in our life. So, you know, it's a whole process of manifestation. So if I look at the results, I always start with the results. If I look at my bank balance and there's no money, that's a result. That's going to tell me a lot about the actions I'm taking right now and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and the environment I'm in. All right, so I'm in an environment where, you know, having no money is either normal or the people around me don't have money. So I'm sort of in that environment. I'm thinking, you know, things that don't allow me to feel abundance or create abundance. So I'm feeling pretty crappy and I'm taking crappy results and I'm taking crappy actions. I'm getting crappy results. That would be the kind of thing. So if I'm in an environment, even if I don't know how to do things, but if I'm in an environment that's really uplifting and positive and I feel great and, you know, so I wake up, I'm having powerful thoughts, positive thoughts, and because of that, I feel amazing. My feelings are there. I mean, the way I show up in my body, my energy you talked about when you met me at the airport, you know, that sort of thing, that you're always full of life. And it's not like a fake thing. You just feel great. You're having great thoughts. You're going to feel great, which means you're going to take great actions. And even when you're taking actions, if you're not getting the right result and you're still feeling great and having great thoughts, then you're going to change the type of actions you're taking and you're going to notice what results you're getting. And it's a constant kind of adjustment until you start thinking great thoughts, feeling great. You're going to take the right kinds of actions and get the right kind of results, and you're going to become successful at anything you want. And it really is. So it doesn't, without the action part, the decision is one thing, but awareness is the biggest factor of change. You have to become aware of your results, because a lot of people, they have the result, but they never sit back and go, oh my gosh, look at that, I'm broke. Oh, look at that, I'm not really happy. That's a result, and I really want to do something about it. Let's go back to my environment. All right, what am I going to change in my environment, and what am I going to change about the way I think and feel and the kind of actions I'm going to take daily? And anyone who follows that pathway will become successful.
Well, I think that deserves pulling out a little bit more, just because I've heard you say this in the past. What you think about determines how you feel. How you feel determines what you do, and what you do, your actions, then gets you your results. It's you know, as you said, it's a track that you follow along. I think that's a very important thing to write down for people listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so also about mindset. Having the right things to listen to, having the right things to watch on television or read. How important is that to a person's mindset, is what they're listening to, what they're watching, what they're reading?
Well, it's very, very important. I mean, a lot of people get up in the morning and they watch CNN, right? Continually right. Negative news, and they wonder why they feel crappy, right? And then they have a coffee. And again, I don't mind. I mean, I like to have a few drinks, right? So I'm not sitting here in high judgment saying you shouldn't do these things, but I don't watch the news and I don't read a newspaper. Why would I put that amount of negativity in my head every single day? And some people, they have like 9 televisions in their house, and it's constantly telling them how bad the world is. No wonder why they feel terrible, right? So first of all, we have to understand what goes in is going to come out. So if we're constantly around, like being around people who gossip, if you're constantly around someone that's gossiping all the time, that is a very dark, negative energy. And in the end, you're going to pay a huge price. So you have to stop either being around them, or you have to stop them gossiping in front of you. So you say, hey, listen, have you spoken to that person about what you're sharing? Okay, well, my advice is speak to them about it, not to me about it, right? And then change the subject. But don't get into gossiping, because it's going to hold you back. And a lot of people do, you know, they speak about people. But I'd say, yeah, your environment, the television, the things you put in, even if you spent 10 minutes every day reading one chapter of a positive book. I do a show 4 days a week, is the kickasslife.com. And, you know, that would be something like that, that really is around, you know, new ways of thinking, you know, interviewing guests like you're doing right now, where you bring great things to people's minds and it awakens in them a new possibility. And with that possibility comes a new set of actions. So yeah, what you read, what you watch, addiction to computers, if you're constantly in that computer cycle, you know, you're not getting results, but you spend 4 or 5 hours a day on your computers, or you're constantly absorbed and you're not connecting to people, everything will have an impact. But you can have a balance. I'm not saying you can't do these things. It's just noticing, if you want something better, you've got to start doing something different. If you keep doing the same stuff, you are not going to get anything different.
Yeah, and I noticed that the first few minutes that you do wake up and you do, your feet hit the floor, that's a very crucial part in how your day is going to go and how your mind is set. So, yeah, turning on the news, CNN, any of the news, you're right, it's constantly negative. It's not going to give you the good stuff. So, suggesting...
Well, let me talk about that, because I have an anchor system. I don't mind. You can wake up and you can have a crappy day if you want, right? And you can sit around in your slob clothes and not wash and scratch all day and watch something, you know, watch terrible movies. Great. That's okay. Just don't do it all week, all right? And what will happen is, so I'm not saying you can't do these things sometimes. I'm just saying don't make a habit of them. But here's what I do. I use the shower as an anchor. So I can get up, and I've been up late last night. I was up really, really late. We forgot to wash our kids' clothes, and it was school day. And so I was still up washing clothes at 2 a.m. this morning, right, because we just forgot. We were out having fun yesterday. The kids, Calvin went to the cinema. We got home. It's 11 o'clock. We said, oh, my gosh, you've got no school clothes, right? And so I stayed up really late, right, and I had a 5 o'clock meeting this morning. So I haven't slept much. But as soon as I go in the shower, I use the shower as a decision point on how I want to be for the rest of the day. And I come out, and all I do is I choose to see what's great and not what's – I mean, I know I feel tired. I know my eyes look a little red today. I know I have a guest coming in. But what I choose to focus on is all the other things that make me feel better, as opposed to saying, oh, God, I didn't sleep last night. Because as soon as I get into that conversation, right, I'm going to start feeling a little sluggish. I'm going to start acting a little sluggish. And the results today won't be what I want.
Absolutely. So do you tune into your own podcast, thekickasslife.com, when you need a top me up of positive thinking? Or
well,
who do you tune into?
I mean, it's hard to listen to your own stuff, but I mean, yeah. I have listened to some shows where somebody's been exceptional and I really want to sort of re-listen to. But typically, I'll listen to other people's stuff. And I'm constantly, because I interview people every week who are exceptional, that's kind of like this, you know, it's like a book on steroids. I suddenly, yeah. Like you, you know, having this conversation is going inside of you as well. And I get to do that all week long. I get to speak to exceptional people. So for me, that's my own private university, right?
And that's like those five great people that you're spending your time with.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot have become really close friends. I mean, I can't believe that this kid that left school at 15, who was broke and, you know, in jail and doing drugs and drinking all the time, you know, lives the life I do right now and has so many beautiful people in it. But like I'm talking to my sons right now about is what an important role kindness plays in success. On contribution, on service, on really serving other people and putting other people first. And you can have that open heart and you can really, really do great things for people every day and notice where you can help. And when you do that, you know, great things are always coming back. And I don't do great things to get great things. I do great things because it actually makes me feel great. And because I feel great, I act great. And because I act great, blah, 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 you know?
Right. That spirals on that way for sure. When it comes to disconnecting from some of the negative people, are some tips and strategies? I know some people you can't disconnect from, but let's say you have that defeating friend that always makes you feel terrible. What are some strategies in which you can disconnect from?
Well, let me just ask you the question. Who do you think you can't disconnect from? What came up for you then?
Would be family.
Okay, let's talk about that. So let's start there.
Okay.
So you've got a really, really negative parent, like I do, right? Right?
Okay.
I got a very, very negative mother, and I didn't see my dad for a lot of my life. We're really, really great friends now, but as a father, he's a really, really not a great dad. He's not. It will never be the dad that most kids want. He's a good mate, though. We're good friends now. But so instead of saying disconnect, how did I deal with that? Because I hated my parents, absolutely loathed my mother, and at 18, I mean, I made a phone call to her that was so toxic and poisonous. I mean, I was just like, I just wanted to be as far away from her as possible. So, and I grew up in a very, very different kind of a world and mindset than some people listening. But what did I do? When I started waking up and started investing in me, because I think most people, they invest more in their clothing and their shoes and their car payment than they ever invest of that little matter between their ears. And when I started making me the most important investment in my life, I started to do the work and I started to wake up. And I started to understand things like forgiveness. I started to understand things like I had control and I could design any life I wanted. And I wanted to design a life where I had a relationship with my parents. And I didn't want to walk around with this, you know, big knot in my stomach and hating them and blaming them. And I realized as I took more and more responsibility for my own success, that if I wanted to have a relationship with them, that I would have to, first of all, initiate it. I would have to go there. And I'd also have to let them know what was going on for me without expecting anything to change. And that was the big thing. So I sat down with everyone in my family, and I just simply shared how I felt, what was going on, without any expectation anything would change, without any understanding that they're going to say, I'm sorry, or whatever like that. I just wanted it out of me, into them, and I was ready to forgive and step into something greater. And so what I've done with my particular family is I have conditioned them. When I'm around, they always are lighter, they're happier, because my energy doesn't get trapped into their cycle of negativity, right? And so what ends up happening is they always feel bigger when they're around me, and I don't feel any smaller anymore, and we have a great relationship now. So that's one thing. But let's pretend it didn't change. Let's pretend that when I was around them, they were always negative. Then I would simply sit down and say, hey, can we chat? And say, look, do I have permission to share what's going on for me and really what's acceptable for me? And I would just share with them and say, look, you know, when I'm around you, you know, when you're constantly talking about this negative stuff, it really affects me. And I realize I've got to make two choices. Either you can choose not to do that when we're together, or we can spend less time together. I don't want to, but I'm not going to keep coming over here and feeling crap when I'm around. And that is something that takes a lot of courage. But I think with family, you have to have that, first of all, 100% responsibility, but then just drawing a few parameters around you and then being the person, being the change you want to see in your family and friends, right? When it comes to friends, I don't know how much more time you have.
We have time in the next after the commercial, but we're just going to take a quick commercial break right now. We're talking to David Wood about mindset. Next, I want to talk a little bit more about what we're talking about, purposeful living in an extraordinary life. So for more information about today's show, upcoming shows, and guests, please visit my website. It's williamspeak.com. That's SPEAKE. Speak with an E. Like us on Facebook, William R. Speak. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Did you ever stop to think that financial health can be a lot like physical health? The financial physician, Luz Katigna, has helped people on the radio for nearly 15 years. And now he's part of the Voice America Business Channel. By using medical analogies to discuss financial solutions, Lou actually makes the process easier to understand and will help you chart your own financial fitness. Tune in to The Financial Physician live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, and on demand anytime on the Voice America Business Channel.
Do you dream about owning your own business? Do you feel you have more to offer but just don't know how to get started? Are you passionate about life, helping others, and committed to taking your health to the next level? Come join our team. We offer solutions to transform lives in weight loss, energy, and performance. Discover how thousands of people have already transformed their lives. We will teach you everything you need to be successful in your own business. For more information, please visit stepintoliving.com or call 416-578-4485.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to No Plan B with William Speak. To reach the program today, please call us at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to noplanb@williamspeak.com. Now, back to the program.
talking to David Wood about the importance of mindset, developing the right attitudes for success. And this show is called No Plan B. We were just talking before the break about how to get out of relationships that are negative. David, do you have more on that?
Well, yeah, we were talking about friends, right? I mean, it's hard because I had to divorce myself from all my friends because, you know, every one of my friends was trapped in a world of either drugs or drinking or, you know, they just didn't want anything out of life, right? And I wasn't aware enough at the time to do that. I just happened to have left for 10 years on a backpacking trip, and I just by chance got out of that environment. And as soon as I stepped out of it, once I overcame my own fear, which I had for about a year traveling, and once I really started to step into new cultures and new possibilities, then the world opened up for me in a very, very different way. But if I hadn't, I would have just stayed there thinking it was normal. And I think most of us just don't, we get stuck in normal, you know, and normal for us is whatever's going on. So if we have a negative family, it's been normal, and we just grow up with that, or negative friends. And I'd say, you know, with friends, it's a lot easier. If you're around people, and when you leave them, you feel slightly smaller, you feel, you know, you don't feel as powerful, you feel less powerful than you were when you met them. If you feel negative, if you feel heavy, dark, stop spending time with them. Just do it, and just let them know. Tell them the truth. Say, hey, would it be all right if I share a truth with you? When I'm around you, I feel crappy, so I'm not going to do it. Now, a lot of people don't have that courage. But what I found to my own example of that is if I share a truth with someone and I do it from an intention of kindness, right, and all I do, I'm not trying to change them. I'm just saying, hey, listen, you know what? I've decided, blah, 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 right? Because you could avoid them and you can make excuses, but I think that's a really, really dangerous slope to go on. When you start lying to people about why you don't want to see them because you feel crappy, now you're in another dark energy. So I always say my 8 most favorite words, tell the truth all the time with compassion. Tell the truth all the time with compassion. All right? So again, you know, in the end, you're going to have to face that truth. And yeah, you can avoid people, but if they are friends of yours, all right, then you need to tell them. You know, I just and that truth could be the one thing that changes their direction. It could be hearing that truth that says, you know what, I don't want to be that person. And then you start being the change you want to see in the world. When you show up positively around them, they're going to start seeing, and you're going to start modeling for them a new way of being. And two things will happen. This is what I found. Either they're going to start to change and start to become more like the energy you have, or they're going to think you're a turnip or an idiot. And they're going to want to not spend time with you because you challenge the very fabric of their negativity. And in the end, they just won't want to be around you.
And you might be completely going in a different direction, different purpose in life. And that actually brings me up to my next thought of people's purpose. You said that it's great when you finally discover your purpose. How do you do that? How did that happen for you, that is?
Well, for me, it was kind of accidental. It came at the I had this massive thing happen where I emceed a wedding, and it went critically wrong. And the groom side of the family got up and left the wedding, and they didn't come back to the party, and some of them didn't speak to him for a year. So I went through this total public humiliation thing. I wasn't a speaker back then or a trainer. And you know, for about 3 years, I was kind of like, you know, kept going back and trying to relive this public humiliation. Imagine, most of my friends were in this church, and I just completely blew this thing. And so 3 years later, I'm still trapped in this prison of regret. And I went to my marriage was on the rocks, and my wife had asked me to go to a personal growth program, the first one I'd ever been to, and I agreed. And while I was watching the trainer in front of the room do what he did so brilliantly, his name's T. Harv Eker. He wrote the book Secrets of a Millionaire Mind, and I ended up working with Harv for 3 years and became a master trainer. But because of my pain and because of what I experienced, you know, it led to me discovering the very path of my life. And quite often, the things that happen to us, there's a lot of people who are listening right now who have had things happen in their past. Maybe they were bullied as a kid. And one of the big things inside of them is to go and work with children who are bullied. You know, look at Oprah. Oprah was raped when she was 9. Look what she does in the world, right? So sometimes it's the very thing that's happened to us that may be one of the darkest things in our whole journey that ends up becoming the catalyst of our purpose because we're driven to help in those situations. But there's exercises you can do. There's courses you can take about discovering purposes, books you can read. But truly, it's about, you know, when you'll find your purpose, it lights you up. And you're lit up all the time. And, you know, there is no such thing as work. It doesn't feel hard. It feels easy, even if you don't make money at it right away. I think it's just one of those those things where you'll get a wake-up call, and most people, because they're trapped in a J-O-B, a job, and that's why your show is so important, is the idea about creating freedom. A lot of people don't live their purpose because they have to go to work. And so what we have to do, we have to have the courage to either on the side, and that's why I'm such a lover, a believer in network marketing, is to create a residual stream of income. And when we do that, right, it allows us to create freedom. When we can get out of the prisons of a J-O-B, or for 84% of people who own a business, you know, they fail within the first 5 years. They become a prisoner of their business. So it's very, very hard when we have no choice or freedom to actually discover and live our purpose.
Oh, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Now, you don't have to hit rock bottom, do you, to find your purpose? It just was the way it kind of happened to a lot of people.
But well, I'm just saying that hidden in your adversity sometimes is your purpose. For some people, I mean, they knew from they were a child they were going to be a vet, or they knew that they wanted something. I mean, a lot of kids have that in them as well, where they actually know from day one what their purpose is. I just think it gets talked out of us. You know, I mean, how many times does a parent say, excuse me, say to a child, oh, yeah, that's great, but you can't make a living at that. Because parents are trapped in poverty. I mean, our teachers make $65,000 to $70,000 a year, and they're teaching our kids how to think about money. Not by what they teach, but by their actions. So poverty is something that's passed from person to person to person. Limitation is passed from person to person to person. So it's very rare a teacher sits down and says, you know what, Dave, or you can have whatever you want. Whatever you want, you can design the life of your dreams, have whatever you want, and here's some things you need to understand in order to do that. That's not taught to children, right? We teach children how to go and get a job and work hard, right? And that is where a lot of dissatisfaction and unhappiness lies, right?
Absolutely. Now, does your purpose have to be huge? Like, for instance, I'm not going to go and cure cancer or feed the world. How big does a purpose have to be to draw you in?
Well, for me, it's always about one life. If I can change one life, I feel purposeful. And so when I go away from my kids, you know, and I'm training, and I just did three events in Australia. You know, I trained almost 1,000 people there. And, I just realize that if one person's life is better because of the work I do, I feel purposeful. Now, I understand that my batting average is a bit better than that, right? But I don't go there with this mindset to change the world. The only world I have control of changing is my own. And so if I can change my own world, I mean, just being a great neighbor, being a great friend, being a great parent, and, you know, having and creating an energy around your life that's attractive and wonderful, and people feel warmer around it. I mean, that's purpose. It could be, it doesn't have to be, like you said, it doesn't have to be changing. It could be raising a child. There's a lot of people who, you know, who dedicate their lives to that. And as long as when that child leaves, you don't feel empty, that you can step into something greater. But yeah, it doesn't have to be big. It just has to be like anything. It's how we think about it. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people, you know, they'll raise a child and say, this is what I do. And when the child leaves, they feel like they feel useless. They feel like there's nothing they can do anymore, which is absolutely wrong. That journey with your child is the foundation now of something greater waiting for you.
Oh, fascinating. How has your purpose changed over the years?
Well, I'm kind of now is it just gets bigger. And so right now we're going through an exercise where I want to create a global brand and really impact lots more lives. I realize that I have a, and this is going to sound, I don't mean it to sound conceited, but I know I have a gift in my arena. And I know that as a trainer, we create some of the most dynamic training programs in the world. And so I realize that, you know, because I feel like I found my purpose and I live it, and because I have a global audience, I feel called to do more as opposed to less. I don't want to go lay on a beach somewhere. But what I want to do is have this continuous life by design where I create things that it allows me to continue to do the things I love and have impact on people's lives, and my own life and my friends' lives. So, you know, for me, my purpose really awoke about 10 years ago. But it took me 3 years to learn how to do this, what I do now as a trainer, and then to create a following is a whole other kind of a thing, you know, because, I mean, people will either follow you or they won't. And so if you want to do the kind of work I do and people don't follow you, they don't listen to your show or they don't come to your trainings, you know your purpose is not going to work, right? So there's a lot of elements to it. But I think when you're on purpose, doors are always opening, and that we just have to have the courage to step into those doors. And we may think that our purpose is one thing. And as we start walking down this corridor towards what we think is our purpose, another door opens. And when we have the courage to walk in, we discover something. And then we find that sweet spot where, again, time stands still. You know, you're never tired. You're always full of passion. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo if you're listening right now and you've got a job and you're, you know, you're just struggling to feed the kids. But I'm telling you, it exists for everybody.
That's quite interesting because it's kind of like you do the thing and you get the power. It's not the other way around.
Well, people say, I'll believe it when I see it. And that's not true. You'll see it once you believe it. Your belief always comes first. You have to believe this exists in order to make it. So my good friend Mike Dooley, he was on The Secret. You know, one of his famous quotes is, thoughts become things. You know, and I do believe that. Whatever you think about consistently, you'll bring about. So if you're constantly thinking about negative things, you are going to bring a lot of negativity. And that's why you take 100% responsibility for everything in your life and everything not in your life. If you're 100% responsible for everything you have and everything you don't have, there's no one left to blame. Blame doesn't exist in your world. There's no complaining. There's no justifying. You live an empowered life when the buck stops here, and it's just exciting when it does.
Yeah, the empowered life. That's just fascinating. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break again, David. And coming up after the break, we're going to talk to David a little bit more about putting his success together. And hopefully that you're taking some good notes and we can put together maybe your own blueprint for the next day, the next week. But before we go, for information about today's show and upcoming shows and guests, don't forget to visit my website. That's williamspeak.com, SPEAKE. Don't forget the E on the end. And you're listening to No Plan B. Stay tuned.
Do you dream about owning your own business? Do you feel you have more to offer but just don't know how to get started? Are you passionate about life, helping others, and committed to taking your health to the next level? Come join our team. We offer solutions to transform lives in weight loss, energy, and performance. Discover how thousands of people have already transformed their lives. We will teach you everything you need to be successful in your own business. For more information, please visit stepintoliving.com or call 416-578-4485.
Health costs companies a lot more than just benefits, premiums, and health plans. Think about the underlying cost with not having healthy employees in the program, investing in the future. Creating Wealth Through Health, host Susan Doherty will discuss employee wellness programs, how staying healthy affects the bottom line, and how to get your team engaged in better health as a way of life. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kurt Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life.
You are listening to No Plan B with William Speak. To reach the program today, please call us at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to noplanb@williamspeak.com. Now, back to the program.
On the line with us today from his home in Kelowna, David Wood. We've been talking to David, and I hope you've been listening and taking considerable notes about today's show. A lot of valuable information. I've been taking a lot of notes here myself. And one of the areas that I think about a lot, and maybe you do too, is that you have a job, you love your job, but it's not paying. You could be a teacher, you could be a pilot, you could be an accountant, that you really love what you're doing. Even you could be a doctor, but somehow you're either not fulfilled or you're not making you're not getting the life, the time freedom that you would like to have. Dave, can you talk us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I think, and it's really interesting because people look at doctors, and I have a lot of friends who are doctors. You know, they work like, you know, 17 hours a day, and they have huge overhead, and they're trapped in a world of constant running. And not every doctor, but a lot, right? So it doesn't matter whether you're broke or whether you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. It's really time for everyone to look in the mirror and say, look, is this the life that I want? Am I feeling this feeling of fulfillment and purpose? Because I think ultimately that's what we all want. And if not, then what am I going to do about it? What responsibility will I take today to say, okay, what's my plan B, which is exactly what your program's called, right? Mm-hmm. And this idea about having a residual income stream, having and starting to build additional streams of income. Because if we don't do that, because you know a lot of people say, well, I don't want money, I don't need money. Great. Mother Teresa did a great job at that. But, you know, she also generated a lot of millions and millions of dollars. She has over 1 million people working in her place. But very few people can say, I have no money and I want to live the life of my dreams. In this sort of Western society especially, you know, money does become a little important. And so what I'd say is that, you know, we have to then start to learn and think about, all right, what am I going to do? And for me, again, network marketing is an amazing choice. I'm very, very passionate about it. I'm considered an expert in that industry. And I certainly believe that every single person on the planet should think about having, again, residual streams of income and understanding what it means to build a network that they can get paid on. And again, if there's any stigma in someone's head, that's fine. But I will guarantee you, one of my own sayings is, you know, we've got to stop taking advice from broke, unhappy people. And quite often, people who are broke and unhappy will tell you why network marketing doesn't work or it's a pyramid. They'll use all kinds of terms like that, not knowing exactly what it is. By the way, this is just one avenue. I also invest heavily in real estate. I have a huge portfolio of real estate. However, I think this is for the average person and for the beyond average person. All right, this is an amazing vehicle to build over 3 or 5 years a residual stream of income that will allow us the freedom to choose to step away from the jobs we dislike or to move away from a business that has us in prison and start to live and do things in our life where we can continue to earn as we grow. And that's one of the great sayings. Again, my income can only grow to the extent I grow myself. So we have to become or be a part of something whose focus is to expand and grow us. And as we expand and grow, our income will grow to the same level.
And we are going to be featuring a show on multi-level marketing, network marketing in December. And also, as you said, the real estate. I'm always looking at ways in which people can make more than one, multiple streams of income. In the meantime, before the big show on the 23rd, where would you suggest a person go to learn a little bit more about network marketing?
Well, I have a completely generic YouTube video called MLM Mythbuster. MLM Mythbuster. It's about 12 minutes long, and it really educates people about what the experts are saying and really what to look for when choosing the right company. There's only 5 things you need to look for, but you need to know what those 5 things are. And again, when I train people, because I bring people into a network, and when I train them, I always want people to understand, and whoever they work with is coming with a 10-year mindset. If you entered this, and it was talking to take you 10 years to replace your income. It can take you 12 months. It can take you two years or 3 years. But I would say, if not this, then what? And have something that really has a personal growth focus. You want to be a part of something where you're constantly being challenged to grow. So watch that video. At least that will help educate you into why this option's a great one. Real estate, you know, I've been building a real estate portfolio for a long time.
Sorry to break in, but I do have to let us go for the day. We're probably going to have you back as a guest in the future. Next week, we have Susan Sly, and she's going to be talking about all sorts of great things. She's going to be talking about your network being your net worth. What I want you to do is, how about a quick introduction of Susan for us?
Awesome, and I appreciate the time here. Susan is amazing. I know Susan. I've trained with Susan, and you know, she is an incredibly accomplished person who went from broke to creating a multi-million dollar a year income and really serving the world in a massive way. So she is an expert. You need to listen to her. And she has helped a lot of people create phenomenal wealth and is working with thousands and thousands of people around the world. So she really is an expert that I really admire and respect greatly. So great guest, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. And tell us a little bit about Kick-Ass Life. We have about another minute or two to go.
Oh, sure. The Kick-Ass Life. Well, I do a show 4 days a week. I bring on an exceptional guest. Tim Ferriss has been on the show. Jack Canfield. Everyone from The Secret's been on the show. Joe Vitale. Lisa Nichols. So I bring on a guest for an hour, and we talk about, you know, different areas of whether relationships, money. It doesn't matter what part of your life. We will sort of walk into that. I do a 10-minute show on Monday just to give you a little kick in the bum, I call it. I do a 30-minute show where I do trainings for my own experience. And then I do an Ask Dave and Jen show, which my fiance and I field questions from Facebook on Saturdays, where we'll take, you know, people have real questions in their life. We'll answer them. So 4 shows a week, and I just love it.
And that's the kickasslife.com, correct?
Yeah, the kickasslife.com. And you can find it on iTunes. We're always in the top, you know, 10 or 15 in iTunes, often number one on iTunes. So we're very, very, very appreciative of the people that listen. And 179 countries, which is really exciting.
Wow. And I listened to it myself. It's one of my favorites. And the YouTube video was MLM Mythbusters, correct?
Mythbuster, yeah.
Mythbuster. Okay. So any last words? We're just the last few minutes of the show.
Sure, yeah. No, well, I think one of the things that it really, if you're listening right now, whether you're on the couch and you don't know what to do, or you're in a job and you're not liking what you do, or you really have a desire to do something, just think back to, you know, take 100% responsibility for everything in your life. Don't blame anyone. Don't try this for 90 days. Don't complain. Don't blame or justify for 90 days and watch your life change. And just watch who you're hanging around with. Make sure that every time you hang around with people, you feel bigger or stronger or more powerful or more aware when you leave them. And that's the kind of people you want to have, people who see greatness in you. And the way to get those people is to start noticing greatness in other people. Start noticing every time you have a conversation, what's great about this person?
Well, thank you very much for doing this today. Really appreciate you being a guest on our show, David. And that's our show for today. Tune in next Monday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, for another episode of No Plan B, Creating Multiple Streams of Income. And I'm your host, William Speak. For the on-demand version of this program, you can visit williamspeak.com. That's williamspeak with an E.com. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you again for tuning in this week. No Plan B can be heard again next Monday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. William Speak personally invites you to join him for another show that will help you make money the fun way.